But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some revelations from recent congressional hearings, move on to the weaponization of Charlie Kirk's death, and follow all of that up with the firing of Jimmy Kimmel. Let's begin, shall we? Committee hearings on Capitol Hill are always a good time to find out what the fuck someone in any given administration is doing so Congress can either write a law or embarrass the wrongdoer publicly. Because shaming an elected or appointed official on national television used to mean something.
Shut your hole!
Unfortunately, this is 2025, and the embarrassment is coming from inside the Congress. Case in point, the Oklahoma senator with two first names, because middle names are so elitist, Mr. Mark Wayne Mullen, proved once and for all that he is a professional idiot. And at a congressional hearing with the CDC director, who was fired by the brainworm running HHS for refusing to use conspiracy theories to dictate vaccine recommendations. Roll tape.
On the morning of August 25th, he directed me to commit in advance to approving every ACIP recommendation, regardless of the scientific evidence. He also directed me to dismiss career officials responsible for vaccine policy without cause. He said if I was unwilling to do both, I should resign. I responded that I could not pre-approve recommendations without reviewing the evidence, and I had no basis to fire scientific experts. He told me he had already spoken with the White House several times about having me removed. Demanding evidence is exactly what I was doing when I insisted CDC recommendations be based on credible science. Secretary Kennedy told me he could not trust me. I told the secretary that if he believed he could not trust me, he could fire me. I was fired for holding the line.
A few moments later.
Let me ask you something. Your conversation with the secretary, you said that he said he didn't trust you.
Correct.
You testified to that. Is that really how that conversation went? Because there's other people in the room, and I think the conversation was, can he trust you? And your answer was?
He said he could not trust me.
No. The answer was... Ma'am, it was a recorded meeting, so you can testify one way, or you can prove that you're lying or give him and be honest with this committee. I'm giving you the opportunity to be honest here because you've been really walking around the edges and not being truthful. So did he ask you the question, can he trust you? And your answer was?
He told me he could not trust me. And I told him if he could not trust me, he could fire me.
That isn't how that conversation went. And you know that, don't you?
He told me he could not trust me. And I told him if he could not trust me, he could fire me.
Ma'am, all we're looking for is you to be honest. And you haven't been.
I understand Senator Mullen implied there was a recording of the meeting or meetings between Dr. Menarez and Secretary Kennedy. That if materials have been provided to Senator Mullen, if HHS has a recording, I asked them to release the recording. I'd also like to know why it was recorded. For the record, it's just been reported that Senator Mullen told reporters that he was mistaken in saying that the RFK-Menarez meeting was recorded.
Well, that came full circle in the dumbest way possible. Could no one have seen this coming? Yeah, I'm talking to you, Oklahoma. Do you realize we all pay this double first name doofus $174,000 a year just to make up shit in defense of the actions of the worm's marionette running the Department of Heroin and Human Atrocities? Thanks in part to Oklahoma's poorly educated electoral choices like Mark Wayne Mullen. And to the parents in Oklahoma who think praying away the virus is going to be better than preventing its ability to infect their children, I only have
my thoughts and prayers.
And while we're on the subject of unqualified people in positions of power, the former podcasting Muppet in charge of the FBI made a wide-eyed appearance before Congress to answer for a lot of things, such as How many sniffs does it take for elected officials to realize the guy you're talking to apparently likes to start off every morning he has to appear before Congress with a big bowl of star-spangled powder? I mean, how else do you explain what Gonzo Patel said about the Epstein files?
Did you ever tell the Attorney General that Donald Trump's name is in the Epstein files?
The Attorney General and I have had numerous discussions about the entirety of the Epstein files and the reviews conducted by our team.
Did you tell the Attorney General that Donald Trump's name is in the Epstein files?
And we have released where President Trump's name is in the Epstein files.
It's a simple question. Did you tell the Attorney General that the President's name is in the Epstein files?
During many conversations that the Attorney General and I have had on the matter of Epstein, we have reviewed.
The question is simple.
Who
did you tell the Attorney General that Donald Trump's name is in the Epstein files? Yes or no?
Why don't you try spelling it out?
Yes
if you're gonna mock
or no,
me.
Director?
Use the alphabet.
Yes or no?
No, A, B, C,
Director,
E, F.
How many times did President Trump's name appear in the Epstein files? Was it more than 100, more than 1,000?
It sounds like if you don't know the number, it could at least be 1,000 times.
Which it's not. Be? It's not.
Is it at least 500 times?
No.
Is it at least 100 times?
No.
Then what's the number?
I don't know the number, but it's not that.
Why don't you just release the entire file as you promised to do?
We are releasing as much as legally allowed. That's why we went back to
how
the
is
courts.
That? How is that not legally allowed?
Sir, do you know how court orders work? Do you know how protective orders
actually,
work?
Actually, you know Mr. Patel, I was a real prosecutor for 10 years. I know exactly how.
So I was a fake one?
No, are you going to continue to
recognize
cover
the
up for the
New
rich
for
and powerful men?
Why are you protecting pedophiles?
That is maybe the most offensive thing you could say to me.
Have you seen the Epstein files?
I have not reviewed the entirety of it myself, but a good amount.
Would it be fair to say that Mr. Epstein trafficked young women, including in some instances minors, for sex to himself?
That was specifically the allegations in the 2018 indictment in the Southern District of New York.
Who else did he traffic these young women to?
Himself. There is no credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday that he trafficked to other individuals. And the information we have, again, is limited.
So the answer is no one?
For the information that we have.
In the files?
In the case file.
Well, I'm sure that will come as a huge shock to the 1,000 victims of Epstein that we know of, specifically because they're compiling a list of their own clients that they were trafficked to by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And sure, the FBI balls can claim all day long that only credible victims of Epstein were used in the sweetheart deal that he got from Alex Acosta back in 2007 when he says Jeff only trafficked to himself. But we all know the real reason Cash Pathetic is saying this. And no, it's not about covering for Pick Me Bondi for losing the client list back in July. No, the real reason the rash from hell said Epstein definitely didn't make a living and own an island for the express purpose of running a sex trafficking ring for rich pedophiles is
Trump is on the Epstein list. Yes, he is. Trump is on the Epstein list. Yes, he is. They can shred the docs, but the truth still exists. Trump is on the Epstein list. Yes, he is.
And now for something completely different.
The frightening and bulging eyeball, known to maggot children as Cash the Knight, is at it again, fresh from spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayer money on flights to wherever there's a UFC fight going down, to reveal the revelations of one accused Charlie Kirk killer and 22-year-old son of a maggot, Tyler Robinson, in the form of text messages to his roommate. A roommate, Slinky Eyes Patel says, is trans or transitioning. Basically, whatever lures their base out of their cracker barrels and into Sydney Sweeney levels of confirmation bias. And for entertainment purposes, here's a dramatic reading of those text messages that were totally not written by Stephen Miller.
Hello, my love. You have no doubt heard of the shooting, and I must admit,
'Twas I. I had hoped to keep the secret to the grave, but alas, I have not lasted the better part of an hour. Why have I committed this act? 'Twas the hate of the man. Reason had no purchase in the poor soil of his soul. You have not asked, but in case you were wondering where I hid the rifle, my love, 'twas over yonder by that lingering squad car. My old man shall surely be missing it presently. Do you remember how I was engraving bullets the other day in front of you? Well, it was just to do a big meme. Look no further into that. Also, I shall now misquote my own meme. Ooh, woo, oh, woe. Probably makes no difference. I apologize to involve you and for this text to be so short, but I am on the lam. In conclusion, I beg you keep this from the prying eyes of the fuzz.
Oh, but alas, the roommate allegedly did not keep those messages from the prying and concerningly bulging eyes of the fuzz. For they are, in fact, the convenient proof the right wing needs to pin the killing of Charlie Kirk on the murderous left, while also being a companion piece to Ashley Furniture's most wanted Veep appearance as guest host of Charlie Kirk's podcast.
J.D. Vance here, live from my office in the White House complex and filling in for somebody who cannot be filled in for, but I'm going to try to do my best, my dear friend, the great Charlie Kirk. If it weren't for Charlie Kirk, I would not be the Vice President of the United States. Charlie was maybe the most important person in both getting us across the finish line, but actually getting me the nomination to begin with. It was his grassroots army. It was his advocacy that I think made me a credible selection for VP in the first place. The thing is, every single person in this building, we owe something to Charlie. We have to talk about this incredibly destructive movement of left-wing extremism that has grown up over the last few years, and I believe is part of the reason why Charlie was killed by an assassin's bullet. Dismantle that. Bring real unity. There is no unity with people who scream at children over their parents' politics. There is no unity with someone who lies about what Charlie Kirk said. And there is no unity with the people who fund these articles, who pay the salaries of these terrorist sympathizers. And while our side of the aisle certainly has its crazies, it is a statistical fact that most of the lunatics in American politics today are proud members of the far left. I can't promise you that all of us will avoid Charlie's fate. Can't promise you that I will avoid Charlie's fate. We owe it to our friend to ensure that his killer is not just prosecuted but punished. And the worst punishment is not the death penalty, but the knowledge that Charlie's mission continues after he's gone. But you have a role too. Civil society is not just something that flows from the government. So when you see someone celebrating Charlie's murder, call them out in hell. Call their employer.
Whoa there, cancel culture Vance. I see what you're doing. Since you're Donnie Depends number two and can only control whether federal workers get a boot for posting Charlie Kirk quotes, you think sicking all the Kevins and Karens of MAGA on their managers will definitely do the trick. So far, 31 teachers have been fired, and also pilots, medical professionals, a member of the Secret Service, and the U.S. Marines. They've all joined the unemployment line, and it's growing. And that's if they're lucky, according to Micro Johnson, Pedo Protector Bondi, and Eric Stad.
If I'm an employer, or I'm a government agency, and I have someone in my employ who is online celebrating the heinous murder of an innocent person, a young husband and father, I can make the decision that they don't deserve to work for me. They shouldn't represent my company or my agency. And I have every right to do that, and I think that's appropriate. That's not the government censoring speech. That's personal behavior and decorum, and you have a right to enforce that. I think all of that is intellectually consistent and will continue to defend it.
There's free speech, and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society. We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech, anything. And that's across the aisle.
And what do you make Pam Bondi saying she's going to go after hate speech? Is that, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of your allies say hate speech is free speech.
should probably go after people like you because you treat me so unfairly. It's hate. You have a lot of hate in your heart. Maybe they'll come after ABC. Well, ABC paid me $16 million recently for a form of hate speech, right? Your company paid me $16 million for a form of hate speech. So maybe they'll have to go after you.
Wow. The orange turd sure gives you a lot to unpack, doesn't he? First of all, ABC paid the orange bastard $16 million to settle a case brought by the lumbering lardass because George Stephanopoulos said on the air that the Floridian fondler was found to be civilly liable for raping E. Jean Carroll, which he was. And that's according to the judge in the case.
On July 19th, 2023, federal judge Lewis Kaplan rejected Donald Trump's request for a new trial and confirmed that Donald Trump raped E. Jean Carroll. I'm going to submit this court ruling into the congressional record, and now I'm going to read you what the judge found. On page 43, the judge wrote, Ms. Carroll testified that the sexual assault, the rape, of which she accused Mr. Trump, involved especially painful forced digital penetration. The judge further writes, the testimony of the outcry witnesses, Ms. Birnbach and Ms. Martin, corroborated the essence of Ms. Carroll's account of a violent, traumatic sexual assault. On page 44, the judge wrote, the jury's finding of sexual abuse therefore necessarily implies that it found that Mr. Trump forcibly penetrated her vagina. The judge further writes, in other words, that he raped her.
So there's that. Anywho, all of this is totally bananas because wasn't the former bowtie aficionado and newly fired Fox infotainer Schmuck Carlson just warning his Tuckster audience about the fascism of bad actors?
You hope that Charlie Kirk's death won't be used by a group we now call bad actors to create a society that was the opposite of the one he worked to build. You hope that. You hope that a year from now, the turmoil we're seeing in the aftermath of his murder won't be leveraged to bring hate speech laws to this country. And trust me, if it is, if that does happen, there is never a more justified moment for civil disobedience than that, ever. And there never will be. Because they can tell you what to say. They're telling you what to think. There is nothing they can't do to you because they don't consider you human. They don't believe you have a soul. A human being with a soul, a free man, has a right to say what he believes. Not to hurt other people, but to express his views.
So I didn't have agreeing with Tucker Carlson on my 2025 bingo card, and it makes me feel really icky. Unfortunately, I will have to shower later because right now we've got to focus on the fact that the Trump regime is blatantly using Charlie Kirk's death in order to roll out their secret police recruitment campaign. If you see someone quoting Charlie Kirk, get them fired. For example, here's a mashup of Charlie being the misogynistic racist he was known for.
We're going to remove my appendix and you're a black lesbian. See a black pilot, you wonder, you say, I hope they are qualified. I'm dealing with somebody in customer service who's a moronic black woman. I wonder, is she there because of her excellence, or is she there because of affirmative action?
If we would have said that Joy Reid and Michelle Obama and Sheila Jackson Lee and Ketanji Brown Jackson were affirmative action picks, we would have been called the racist. They're coming out and they're saying, I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know. You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously. You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously.
And Justice Clarence Thomas are far better black role models to celebrate than Martin Luther King. Period. End of story.
This guy is not worthy of a national holiday. He is not worthy of godlike status. In fact, I think it's really harmful.
You think children should have, you should see it? What is the age? At what age should you start to see public executions? I want to watch that execution. That'll make my day better. I want to see him on a public block and get him be publicly executed.
I can't stand the word empathy, actually. I think empathy is a made-up New Age term that does a lot of damage.
Is in Leviticus 18, is that thou shall lay with another man shall be stoned to death. Just saying.
And while it's personally surprising that Charlie could read, it's not at all a shock that he couldn't reason logically or absorb new information that may force him to rethink his life choices. Because Leviticus 18:22 actually said, "You shall not lay with a boy as you do a woman." If you translate the text from its original Hebrew that it was written in, not some pasty colonizer's interpretation that clearly protects pedophiles going all the way back to the Bronze Age. A historical fact that still resonates when in the year of their Lord, 2025, the cult that produced Charlie Kirk is still crashing Grindr during every RNC gathering and protecting donors from being exposed as clients on a list. But I digress. We were discussing how disgusting it is that 95 Democrats willingly chose to vote yes to renaming October 14th as Charlie Kirk's Day of Remembrance. And that would be bad enough, but 38 of those fascist teat suckers didn't even have the courage to vote yes, so they just clocked in as present, giving Republicans the votes they needed to make this monstrosity happen. And who started all of this shit?
I cannot even speak the name of the vampire that organized that monstrosity.
I don't give a fuck. His name was Mike.
Fucking Mike.
And for those of you in the back, here's the barely sentient testicle we call Stephen Miller revealing to the Hillbilly Sectional the Trump regime's plan to use Charlie Kirk's death to unleash their MAGA Gestapo.
All of the ways that we're trying to figure out how to prevent this festering violence that you see on the far left from becoming even more and more mainstream. We're going to go after the NGO network that foments, facilitates, and engages in violence.
It is a vast domestic terror movement. And with God as my witness, we are going to use every resource we have at the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, and throughout this government to identify, disrupt, dismantle, and destroy these networks and make America safe again for the American people. It will happen, and we will do it in Charlie's name.
The last message that Charlie sent me was, I think it was just the day before we lost him, which is that we need to have an organized strategy to go after the left-wing organizations that are promoting violence in this country. But there's incredible anger. And the thing about anger is that unfocused anger or blind rage is not a productive emotion.
Right.
But focused anger, righteous anger, directed for a just cause, is one of the most important agents of change in human history. We are going to channel all of the anger that we have over the organized campaign that led to this assassination to uproot and dismantle these terrorist networks.
Ugh, sounds like the hookup between white nationalist Dracula and D'Average Bondi nobody asked for. Except maybe their dear leader, who's clearly got a list of enemies that he's been waiting a long time to go after, kind of like Stephen Colbert and the entire Late Night Show, who was recently canceled on CBS as a sacrifice to the Donnycon, so Paramount could get the Slobfather's blessing for their merger with Skydance. So was the fate of Jimmy Kimmel Live. Beginning with what Jimmy said on his show 5 days after Charlie got murked.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend, Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks. They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years, and it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition, construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish, okay?
Spot on, Jim. Not only did Kimmel accurately portray the Reich Wing's immediate narrative that Kirk's shooter was a big old lefty trans before anyone knew about Tyler Robinson's ultra-Mormon conservative and MAGA-identifying family. But he hilariously showed how little of a fuck the Fanta fascist cares about Charlie's death, more concerned about the ballroom he's building with taxpayer money. That apparently really pissed off the Moldy Orange, who almost instantly realized he's got a friend at the FCC. And just in case anyone in the back is still confused, here's how it all went down.
Back in July, the President of the United States, Donald Trump.
Fallon has no talent. Kimmel has no talent. They're next. They're going to be going. I hear they're going to be going. I don't know, but I would imagine because they get, you know, Colbert has better ratings than Kimmel or Fallon. You know that.
In August, Nexstar, the largest owner of TV stations, local TV stations in the country, announced that they wanted to purchase their rival Tegna for more than $6 billion. Now, in order for that deal to go through, Nexstar would need the approval of the Federal Communications Commission. And in fact, they would need the FCC to lift the cap, a 39% cap that the FCC has, which is a rule that states no company can own enough TV stations to reach more than 39% of the households in the United States. And this deal going through would violate that cap. The current chair of the FCC, Brendan Carr, he earlier this year said that he would be willing to entertain lifting what he called arcane artificial limits on how many TV stations any one company can own within hours.
Nexstar, the largest owner of local stations in the country, came out and said it, quote, strongly objects to recent comments made by Kimmel concerning the killing of Charlie Kirk and will replace the show with other programming in its ABC-affiliated markets. Just hours before that statement, Trump's hand-picked FCC chairman went on a podcast and suggested ABC's broadcast license or affiliates could be at risk if they did not suspend or fire Kimmel, saying, we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
On Benny Johnson's podcast Wednesday, Benny Johnson is a TPUSA staffer.
There's actions that we can take on licensed broadcasters. And frankly, I think that it's really sort of past time that a lot of these licensed broadcasters themselves push back on Comcast and Disney and say, listen, we are going to preempt. We are not going to run Kimmel anymore until you straighten this out, because we licensed broadcaster are running the possibility of fines or license revocation from the FCC if we continue to run content that ends up being a pattern of news distortion. So I think, again, Disney needs to see some change here, but the individual licensed stations that are taking their content, it's time for them to step up and say this, you know, garbage, to the extent that that's what comes down the pipe in the future, isn't something that we think serves the needs of our local communities. But this sort of status quo is obviously not acceptable where we are.
And then shortly after that, ABC Television Network announced that they were suspending Kimmel's show.
And that, my dearies, is why the firing of Jimmy Kimmel is illegal based on the First Amendment right to free speech. Not because Disney owns ABC and decided to sack Jim, as the right wing would have you believe, because that itself is not a violation of the First Amendment. See, the First Amendment only protects Americans from speech censored by the government, state or federal. If ABC or Disney had decided themselves to get rid of Kimmel on their own, there would be no free speech debate, because any company can fire any employee for something that they said. But that's not what happened here.
You don't say. You don't say. You don't say!
When ABC and Disney decided to fire Jimmy, they did so because their distributors Nexstar and Sinclair said they would not air the show on their networks. And just for shits and giggles, it's Nexstar and Sinclair who broadcast programming from companies like Disney's ABC to all of our televisions. So without them, you wouldn't see Jimmy Kimmel's show anyway. Which is why Rumpel Thinskin said this about what's allowed to be broadcast on television in Trump's America.
Donald Trump just made a stunning admission saying that media organizations cannot criticize him, and if they do, they'll face punishment, essentially.
As journalist Caitlin Collins just reported, Trump just told reporters,
when you have a network, then you have evening shows and all they do is hit Trump. That's all they do. If you go back, I guess they haven't had a conservative on in years or something, somebody said. But when you go back, take a look, Well, all they do is sit Trump. They're licensed. They're not allowed to do that. They're an arm of the Democrat Party.
Mr. President, are you going to ask Brendan Carr to weigh in on other late night hosts that you have said should be on the air?
Late night host is on network television. There is a licensing. I'll give you an example. I read someplace that the networks were 97% against me. I get 97% negative. If they're 97% against, they give me only bad publicity or press. I mean, they're getting a license. I would think maybe their license should be taken away. It would be up to Brendan Carr. That shows they have no credibility.
Could you use that same logic with news?
If someone, you know, in the old days, I remember in the old days that every 4 or 5 years, a network would reapply for its license. I don't hear about that. The only one that I've heard even bring it up is Brendan Carr. I think Brendan Carr is doing a great job, and I think he's a great patriot.
Of course you do. Brendan Carr isn't just your FCC goblin. He's an author of Project 2025 and willing to let Nexstar own more than 40% of the local television stations in the entire country by approving their merger with Tegna. As long as Nexstar refuses to air Jimmy Kimmel live, which they did, resulting in Kimmel getting fired. And so was born a new strategy for silencing anyone the King Baby Coward doesn't like.
According to the New York Times, Sinclair, another owner of many local TV stations, said that it would also suspend Mr. Kimmel's program and call on Mr. Kimmel to apologize and make a meaningful personal donation to Mr. Kirk's family and the activist political group Turning Point USA. Do you think that's an appropriate remedy of the situation?
I think Sinclair has every right to call for that. Again, you know, Sinclair affiliates with Disney. They take Disney contract. They have a contractual relationship with Disney, and that's between the two of them to figure out, you know, what's going to make sense to make both of them comfortable with the relationship going forward. But again, over the years, it would be unthinkable for Sinclair, for Nexstar, for local TV stations to actually say, you know what? You know, we're not going to take this particular programming that's coming out of New York and Hollywood and send it to Pennsylvania and Utah. And so the idea that local broadcasters feel like they can push back, I think that's a much, much healthier dynamic for the country right now.
I'm sure you do. So did Ambulance Chaser Bondi approve this scheme to have television stations controlled by Nexstar and Sinclair refuse to air content you don't like? Just so you can have the plausible deniability that you think you might need to get out of violating the First Amendment? Because honestly, that kind of technicality could possibly be a legal argument, probably not a winning one. But the fact of the matter is, Jimmy would still have a job if the FCC gargoyle did not call for punishing him for pointing out old Yam Tits cares more about his new ballroom than he does Charlie's death. Always crying.
I am a victim of a hate crime.
That's not what a hate crime is.
Well, I hated it.
Because if all of this were really about stopping speech that incites violence, then why in the fuck does Brian Kilmeade still have a job at Fox?
Billions of dollars to mental health and the homeless population. A lot of them don't want to take the programs. A lot of them don't want to get the help that is necessary. You can't give them a choice. Either you take the resources that we're going to give you, and or you decide that you're going to be locked up in jail. That's the way it has to be now.
Or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill them.
Yeah, Brian, why did it have to get to this point?
Right. I would say this. We're not voting for the right people. In North Carolina, wake up.
The next day.
That comment sparked backlash online, with many pointing out that a large number of unhoused people, homeless people across the country, are veterans.
Over the weekend, Kilmeade offered his apology.
We were discussing the murder of Irina Zaruska in Charlotte, North Carolina, and how to stop these kinds of attacks. During that discussion, I wrongly said they should get lethal injections. I apologize for that extremely callous remark. I'm obviously aware that not all mentally ill homeless people act as the perpetrator did in North Carolina, and that so many homeless people deserve our empathy.
Yeah. Your apology is not accepted, sir. Because one day after Brian suggested homeless people should be lethally injected, some crackpot with a gun went to a homeless camp in Minneapolis and lethally injected bullets into two people's heads and injured three more. So why does Kilmeade still have a job after making comments that resulted in the deaths of two people while Jimmy is unemployed? Because he made the logical connection between Mansi Nace, Tiny Johnson, and other Republiturds claiming Kirk's killer is a trans leftist before the white MAGA-loving groiper turned himself in a few days after the shooting. Or as Jon Stewart said back in 2022.
Comedy doesn't change the world, but it's a bellwether. We're the banana peel in the coal mine. When a society is under threat, comedians are the ones who get sent away first. It's just a reminder to people that democracy is under threat. Authoritarians are the threat to comedy, to art, to music, to thought, to poetry, to progress, to all those things. It's never been. All that is a red herring. It ain't the pronoun police. It's the secret police. It always has been, and it always will be.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners, because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.